Okay, it is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday, June 27th, 2023. We'll call the common council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Leo.
Here.
Margaret.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano absent.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on June 13th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual signs. It is unanimous of those present. Next up, we are swearing in our new police officer, Gary and Rosie.
Thanks, Mayor. We've got Officer Justin Cornejo, the lateral from Garrett PD. He has 10 years of experience, 10 years plus. We're excited to have him, and I look forward to utilizing his experience with our department. So welcome aboard.
I, Justin Cornejo,
swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Swear I will protect the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Faithfully and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a police officer.
As a police officer.
Of the City of Columbia City.
Of the City of Columbia City.
According to the law.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay, so for those of you that are here for the swearing in, you're free to go now if you'd like, or you're certainly welcome to hang out here too. Either way.
Thank you.
We're good. Thank you. Okay, next up is the compliance with statement of benefits. And actually, I think it's number 22, but I think we know where you're from. Okay, good. Okay, Dale is here.
Good evening. It's good to see you all. So a couple things. This is Kyocera. Last time, if you'll recall, there was seemed like the a little bit of a discrepancy between the actual cost and what was estimated on the SB1, and indeed that was the case. So for those who may not be completely aware, Kyocera's actually ownership company is out of the Cleveland area, but they're still thrilled with what's going on here. You know, they've moved off the Raber Road into the Tower View. And they've already filled that building up, and they're looking to expand. So they have indeed been buying this equipment. I worked with Drew Johnson, the general manager, over the last couple of days, and what you have in front of you is a cost of the equipment that's the actual is very close to what was estimated on SB1. And then the other issue, I don't think any of us were too comfortable with what they were showing as far as the wages that they were hiring, that also was an error. In talking with Drew, their starting wage is like $17.10 an hour. What they were showing before was $14. So that has been corrected. And again, Kyocera is doing very well in the medical device field and components. So I'm pleased to say that this is a cleaned-up version, and Drew will be working more closely with his CPA or accountant in Cleveland in the future to make sure we don't have to come back a couple of times for this. But I'm pleased with how responsive he was, and we were able to get that done in the last couple of days.
Council, questions, thoughts? obviously. This is the third time you've seen it. This is
clarifying some things.
Yep.
Yeah, we were just...
Yeah, no, but yeah, the one before was kind of a head scratcher, and so this is cleaned up. And I mean, he sent me the invoices for all the tooling, so the equipment, it has been purchased.
Any questions from the council?
All right.
No. Not now.
Not now. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Do I have a motion to find Kyocera SGS Specialty Tools in compliance for their 2022 abatement and grant an additional year of abatement?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is resolution number 2023-11. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read resolution number 2023-11 by title only.
Ordinance
2023.
Nope.
Nope.
I mean resolution 2023-11, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, to support legislation to establish Indiana driving cards.
Marsha, I know you worked on this. Do you want to point out, because I know one of the things that the council has talked about in the past that was really important, so hopefully I'm not stepping on Marsha's thoughts here. But the second to last whereas on the first page of the resolution there, where driver cards would provide easily recognizable and distinguishable identification that will not be valid for voter identification. I know that was one thing that was important to the council. It was also talking about safe roads. That was something that was in there. The improving public safety and driver's tests and all that kind of stuff was in there. Marsha, was there other things that you wanted to point out?
I don't think so. I mean, hopefully I hit on the high points.
Yeah. So Marsha and I kind of worked on, based on your comments and thoughts, and tried to put together, and actually I shouldn't say we, Marsha put together a resolution that I think encompasses your thoughts from previous meetings regarding this. So, Council, do you want to discuss the resolution in front of you? Yes.
So I know there was one thing that I was looking for when I was reading through this about that, and I think that if they get this certification, that they will, I can't remember what we discussed in detail, but that they would be able to...
That they would go after their residency
or their citizenship. Yeah, that's what I was looking for in this.
Yeah, that was one thing. When I'm reading through the documentation I received, mm-hmm. you know, we're giving these people the right to go ahead and drive, but they're undocumented. They're here illegally. And one of the comments was, well, if they're scared, they're gonna, if they do get pulled over, they're going to be deported. Well, if they're illegal or undocumented, yeah, they should be deported. That's my problem with this whole thing, is I think the resolution's got some great wording in it, and I respect the people that are trying to, you know, be here, but at the same time, they're illegal and they're undocumented. If they would go through the process start the process of being a U.S. citizen, I have no problem with helping them with that. But a lot of these people are not, and we're giving them they're entitled to a driving card. I have a real problem with that. The other thing is, we have enough trouble with American citizens. Once you get insurance, a week later, they cancel it. So how do you maintain and understand that even though they might have insurance when they get the driving card, how do we know that they maintain the insurance? Because there's still a strong possibility if they don't have money to maintain a car. Well, first of all, how does an illegal immigrant get a car without a social security number and without an income? You know, I know some people that don't have a driver's license, and if they're fortunate enough to work, they get a ride. They have a ride with somebody until they become financially stable enough to achieve that. So, yeah, I got my problem with this. I respect the people, but at the same time, they need to respect the United States rules as far as becoming a citizen here. And the key words in this document that I have here are illegal, undocumented. If they become that way, I have really no problem helping them with that. But I'm struggling with this bigger than life just because of those two words. And like I say, the resolution's got some great wording in it, but I'm having a real problem supporting this because of those two facts.
I think part of it, though, is we're trying to protect our citizens also, because even if they're immigrants right now, a lot of people are driving out there without driver's license and they don't care. You can go buy a vehicle, whether it's on Craigslist, any of the marketplace, any of those places for cash money. Like, no one checks to see if you have a driver's license or checks to see if you have insurance. Like, you just go buy it from a person. Like, I think with this, it has great ideas and great things out there for the illegal immigrants to have a driver's license, quote unquote, so they're doing the right thing. But I agree that they should go into the process of getting their citizenship. But it's also safeguarding the citizens. If they do get an accident, that they have insurance, they're held liable versus the citizens always have to, it's a hit and run, or this person doesn't have insurance, so my deductible is going up for it too. So it's kind of helping out both our citizens and the immigrants wanting to actually do the right thing.
Well, that's doing the right thing. You know, I mean, we got enough trouble with our American citizens, you know, canceling insurance after a week or two after they show everything's great. How do we have trouble with them following that. So how do we follow when an illegal immigrant has it and says, oh, hey, I can't afford it. You know, how do we keep that in check?
I think in my remembrance of the presentation, I believe what the legislation that was being proposed at that time said, that every year that card had to be re-upped. So therefore, at least once a year, they had to have insurance during that time frame. I'd also say, I guess in some ways, I think it's a misnomer that, you know, undocumented or illegal immigrants don't have work. I think there's plenty of people that have plenty of work, so when I think finding a car is not as big of an issue. I do recognize the fact that it is the intention of this council that, and rightfully so, that individuals who would go through this program, if you will, would get in line, if you will, for citizenship, understanding fully that citizenship is not a, well, Ted, you talked about it, right? Citizenship is not a two-month process. It's a multi-year process that goes along the way. You know, at the end of the day, I do think in some ways it does create a documentation for these individuals. So, because again, they have to provide proof, number one, of insurance, they have to provide proof of residency, they have to provide proof of some of these things. It does take them, you know, again, it doesn't provide them, they don't become citizens automatically, but I think the idea of, I mean, it does create a little bit more documentation, if you will, of what the process is. And I do think, again, and maybe this is, maybe we tweak the resolution to say, like, that within a year of being the driver's card, they have to, you know, they have to sign up for, you know, to get citizenship or whatever the case is. But I feel like that was in the original legislation anyways. But I concur with what you're saying, Kat, especially, is that was a part. And I just,
so I remember,
to take blame off of Marsha, I forgot to include it.
I think, Ed, when he came in, I think he said when they were going to present this next year, that would be the first time that language.
Oh, that language, okay.
But it hadn't been previously, and so that's why I think I would be fine with this if that language was included. Marsha, I don't know.
That within 1 year of acquiring the driver's license, it is the opinion of the council that within a year of getting the driver's card, but
I don't think that's unreasonable.
But that's why this is just a resolution for what you say. Say what the state's going to write.
Sure. But it does outline your intention as to what where the council, if you will, would be on that matter.
Well, but again, it's not just walk in. I'm here to get a card. Thank you. Goodbye. They still have the requirements of the driving test, the written test, the vision test, proof of insurance. And again, you know, the 12-month period to start the process to become a U.S. citizen, you know, I think again, it's a starting point.
Yeah.
Okay. And I totally understand that there's, you know, that there's things that happen that the DMV, if they don't know it, you know, they're going to still process it as long as it looks legal to them. And and this is strictly a resolution for, clarify, I guess, a resolution that's for just the city or...
So all the resolution is... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, it's just support.
Support. Okay, so it doesn't have boundaries to it.
So basically we're saying we support effectively legislation under these parameters, right? So at the end of the day, if the legislation doesn't include, you know, the it can't be used for voter ID, right? Or if the legislation doesn't include, you know, within a year they need to be getting in line for citizenship, things like that, then obviously this resolution ends up becoming null and void because it doesn't support the legislation, right?
Yep.
And the legislation has to fit within the parameters that our resolution says, or it's null and void.
So who monitors the activity that the things are being done?
What do you mean by that?
That would be the license branch. The license branch, if this is adopted, the license branch is actually going to have to check in every single year because their card would expire after a year. So it's like a checks and balances because it doesn't, you can be an immigrant. Like, there's immigrants now driving without driver's license whatsoever, and it doesn't stop them. Like, right. These are the people wanting to do the right thing and start the process.
Right. Okay.
So, Dan, I'm not trying to discount you, obviously. But what I think I'm hearing is if it's the intention of the council, or at least the majority of council members, that you want to have the within 1 year, need to get in line for citizenship kind of a thing, we can have Marcia put that in and bring that to, I guess, the next meeting. Dan, I know you're not going to be at the next meeting, so we can delay it if you'd like or whatever. But am I picking up what you're putting down on that scenario, that you'd like to see that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So if they're a year from now, they're in a different state, does it become null and void just because they're no longer in the state that the resolution is?
I was going to say, I mean, keep in mind that the legislation would be going through the Indiana legislature. So if they move to Missouri, well, let's see, another state. If they move to Maryland, then they have their own, laws, if you will, regarding the driver's car, driver's ID.
Yeah, so they'll have to go through that.
Yeah, so it's a completely different process. This is only for within the boundaries of the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, again, our resolution is only we support it under this premise. Yeah, under these conditions.
Like I said, I'm still, I don't understand where that's going. I'm still struggling with the legal documentation. I mean, that's a year. You know, I'm sorry, that's a long time for something goofy to happen here. I'm all about safety. I want to make sure our citizens are safe. I want to make sure they're safe. But I'm still struggling with. Go through the process right now. Go through that. Get it done as soon as possible. Then I probably could better understand this. But I'm just having a problem just giving all these benefits to these people before without earning anything.
But I think I heard you say just to start the process doesn't mean you're going to have it finished in 30 days.
No.
It's
a long process.
4 years.
They wouldn't have the opportunity to do what the resolution says if we put that in front of the resolution that says you must have, or you must be a U.S. citizen.
No, I'm not saying they have to be a U.S. citizen first. I'm just saying when they come across, they can become documented and become understanding, you know, what all the process is to be allowed to be here. So that way they don't get deported in that. I mean, once they're documented and understood who they are and why they're here to be free, great. I have no problem supporting those people with that. but just to give people, you know, that's too much of a liberty to me before assuming the responsibility of starting the process.
I'm curious to know how long they have been here. Can you tell us? Excuse me.
Are you saying in the process? Like,
no, been here in Indiana. How long have you been here?
So if any of you were not born in the United States or in Indiana, I think they're asking, any of you have not been born in Indiana or the United States?
No. No? We're coming from Mexico.
You come from Mexico? Okay. How long have you been here from Mexico?
2 years. 2 years. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3.
one over. Two DACAs, they went to the college, but they didn't have a DACA. So my husband and I, we have to work hard to pay the college. We are not asking for nothing free, because we pay the college. After that, the DACA came, and they applied for it, and they went to get a master's degree in Ohio and Penn State University. So we are families, good families. We are working hard. We want to do the right things, but it's hard. If we can get this law, we can drive safe. But if we don't have any way, we have to drive, because we have to eat, we have to get food and some. So it's hard to get a citizen. Thank you.
So how have you been getting around all these years?
We asking for our neighbors that they could drive, and they take us, but we pay the drive.
Right.
Take me to the groceries, take me to the job or something.
Okay.
We knocking doors, they ask, but sometimes it's hard because in an emergency, we have to do it.
I just did a quick Google search. It says basically 2 to 3 years is what it takes to go through the citizenship process. If you know anything about that, and get it for informational purposes, it costs. I know that it costs a lot of money to go through that process and stuff. Again, just as information. So I get it. I understand fully again where you're coming from. I do, and I'm. Again, I
don't support it.
Sure, I understand that. I understand that.
Follow the rules that we have set.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see on this.
Sure. So, I think what we'll do then is Marsha and I will go back to the drawing board and try to work on putting in that additional language that you guys are wanting. And obviously, not trying to negate what you're saying, Dan. I just what I hear from the majority of the members is to move and kind of go through that process. But so we can bring you something else different either next time, or if Dan wants to delay, we can go to the second meeting in July. So okay? Good? Okay. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we will I need a motion to table the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, second by Jenny for the discussion. All those in favor, table. That's the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Okay. Next up, we're moving to short-term disability. I'm sorry. Yep. Amendment to the short-term disability leave policy. Beth.
Beth, we don't get to see you very often.
I know. It's exciting to be here with you. Thank you for letting me come. So.
It's on now. Yeah, I turned it off. Thank you.
good evening, by the way.
Thank you.
Good evening, Beth.
I bring before you, I think it's in your items there, a amendment to the short-term disability leave policy that we have. And this comes as a recommendation from the Wellness Committee. We've been working on this for several months. And as we work on it and get language, I take it then to the department head meeting and make sure that they see the language, and then whatever changes they'd like to see, I take it back to the Wellness Committee. So if you take a look at the short-term disability leave 5.1, it's the first change would be under 5C. So currently, this short-term disability time is also considered our sick time. So the whole kind of the idea of this is that hopefully they can save it as a short-term disability that they might be able to use to be paid.
Basically to bank it.
To bank it.
Catastrophic happens.
Right. However, there are other things that happen. So that's kind of where this language is coming in. And so 5C, we have that we took out the who resides within the employee's household for the child. And then a stepchild, we took out who resides within the household. So we took out that, and then we added the word dependent. So it would read, family illness or doctor's appointment of a child, stepchild, dependent spouse or parent. So that would be the first change.
One way to think about this, just so you're aware, is obviously we do the maternity leave policy. We enacted that multiple years ago, and this is kind of the other side of that, which is if you want to use your sick time to take a parent to the doctor or things like that, it gives more flexibility to that we really didn't have previously. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Any questions on 5C before I move to the second one? Okay. Second one is 6, and it reads H. I've tried to change this to 6C, but my spell check and everything on my computer doesn't like it. So I don't know what to
figure out. I'll help you.
So 6H is what is written there. We had a couple of questions come about what is considered reasonable suspicion. So the committee decided to kind of talk about this and come up with a definition. So you'll see that it says reasonable suspicion indicates a recognizable pattern of abuse of more than 2 unscheduled days per month. We have unscheduled days and scheduled days. Scheduled days is when the employee tells their supervisor ahead of time and signs a paper sometimes, but it has to be way ahead of time. The unscheduled is like when they call in like last minute,
yeah.
Things like that. So there is a differentiation here. So normally, employee does not have to produce a note unless it's after 3 days, and that is in line with the FMLA process, too. So we had a situation where a supervisor asked for a note, and it was less than 3 days. So that's where this question came in, and then the also wanting the reasonable suspicion defined a little bit better. So it would be 2 unscheduled days per month and or a documented pattern that puts the scheduling of work in jeopardy. So that's kind of what we came up with.
I think a part of that, really, we were thinking toward public safety, although not
exactly.
To say that somebody calling in doesn't interrupt every department, but specifically public safety, when you have to have a minimum number of dispatchers, a minimum number of firefighters, a minimum number of police officers, it's important of that last part that puts the scheduling of work in jeopardy, because that creates major challenges, as you're guessing. If we have 2 people or whatever that call off in a 3-person shift, we got major problems going on at that point in time. We got to arrange and scramble and to try to find someone to fill that shift with our minimum staffing. So.
Yeah. So those are the 2 main changes that we wanted to see.
And the rest of them, where they say Form I, Form K, Form LL, that's just to put in more clarity for the employees of this is the form you need to fill out, this is the form
exactly.
you need to fill out. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the departments, though, have a different way to do it. Fire has a computerized system. So I'm able to go in and see if they've already put in ahead of time or if it's a last minute, that type of thing.
Okay.
So.
I guess, what is the definition of disability that
For which part?
Well, I'm just short-term disability time. I'm just trying to figure out, does that mean like if you're taking grandma to the doctor or something, or what? What does this disability time actually mean? I'm trying to understand
Sick time. That's what it used to be called, but we've changed it to short-term disability so that it would have more of a recognition that, hey, it would be nice if you could keep this in case you have surgery.
Okay.
Yeah. And be paid for it. But we recognize that things happen.
Okay. I just wanted
And ultimately, we don't limit the amount of sick days that people can bank, right?
Technically, no.
No. So keep in mind, we give a sick day each month.
Mm-hmm. 8 hours.
And so theoretically, if someone's super healthy, they can bank 12 days every year. Yeah. And as you probably are all aware, if you get any kind of decent surgery, you're going to eat up that fairly quickly, right? So I think it is an opportunity that our employees have, that they can basically get full pay with their short-term disability / sick days. They can get that full pay as they've been banking it over time. Now, for someone who burns it as soon as it comes in, then they're kind of up a creek at the time they have a surgery or something like that. Now, we have FMLA, that's, you know, federal laws. We obviously follow all that stuff, but there's a difference with this specifically.
Yeah. Do you still have potential for some employees to maybe, if the person didn't, you know, use it?
Yeah.
So another employee may be able to give some of their sick time to somebody.
Yeah, right. We do allow donation from their
yes. Up to a certain amount.
Yeah, I don't remember what that limit is.
I think it's 40
hours.
40 hours.
So, yes, it's limited, but yes, we do allow that in those circumstances, sure.
Yeah.
And then maybe as a recommendation from what Dan said, we could use short-term disability / sick leave.
So to change that.
Just
disability. Oh, yeah. Just clarify it.
You just said it.
Yeah, the slash.
Okay.
I think it is, to that point, I guess, it is easier for individuals to understand.
Right.
I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, Dan. That came out wrong. But it is because people are used to the term sick time, right? They're used to that term.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we can balance that in some way, shape, or form. That's a fair
question. Yeah, I can add that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not insulted.
We've known each other for way too long, Dan. You know my intentions. So anyways, other questions about the policy change or thoughts? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the change in the short-term disability policy?
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of the press.
Okay.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
It's great seeing you, by the way. Not that I don't see you every day, but here. Okay, next up is the Lowit appropriations adjustment. You can blame Tom for this one. At Board of Works, we back up. As you are probably aware, maybe you probably are aware, the fire department has gone through a hiring process. They have determined that they have two lateral transfer candidates that are both well qualified, recommended by the panel. And as we work through that in our Board of Works interviews, Board of Works felt really confident about both of them. The challenge is we don't necessarily have the budget for both of them. But we know that we have at least one, if not two, firefighters that are retiring within the next year or two at this point. So, right?
I'm sorry, I got this.
That's okay. How many firefighters are on the verge of retiring? We mean they've signed up in the drops program.
One so far.
So the point is trying to figure out, okay, so this is a golden opportunity where we have two laterals, where we don't have to send them through the fire academy. We don't have to send them through all that training. They have all those skills. It's a fairly quick onboarding process, just getting to know our community if they don't already know, which actually I think both of them, are they both Whitley County residents?
Yes.
So, again, kind of a good opportunity. So, Rosie and Tom and I sat down to kind of look at the budget, look at where we could scrimp and save, look at where there's additional dollars that aren't appropriated, things like that. And so the Board of Works approved, pending your approval, is we'd like to reappropriate $55,000 in Lovett to really a couple of different things, but then not to get too deep here, but the police and fire insurance fund both are they're below where they should be. We had some insurance increases, but we also realized there were some budgetary issues that we messed up on when we budgeted last year. So that's the first thing. But rearranging some of the things in his budget over to Lowett, that opens up some additional dollars for that second firefighter in the actual general fund. So by effectively reappropriating the $55,000 in Lowett, it allows us to cover the police and fire insurance, but then also, is it the training? What were we switching to Lowett? I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm putting wages in Lowett.
The wages in Lowett, because we already had them in there previously from, was it last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what for, but anyways. So I guess Tom, myself, Rosie, etc. are coming to request a change of appropriation, if you will, in Lovett of $55,000 to cover that second firefighter that, again, gives us that ability to keep a lateral transfer that, frankly, has a decade of experience.
Yes.
I didn't see an opportunity to take advantage of that situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, we struggle sometimes with getting quality
yep.
people. We have an opportunity to take two, we better take it.
With the hiring environment right now, it's like a golden goose leaving our lap right now. So I think we should take advantage of it.
But. So I'm not opposed to yep. taking advantage of that at all. How will that affect the next year's budget? Will that 55,000. I guess what I want to make sure that we're not looking at that 55,000 add back in, like, oh, we're going to raise our budget 55,000.
Yeah, and actually, yeah. So keep in mind that the 55,000 also includes the insurance pieces, so it's not all wages. Okay. Also keep in mind that we're talking about basically less than a half a year's worth of wages that would be taken care of there. And that they would also be on a probationary period during that time, so they don't get the full-time regular firefighter wage until their 1 year probation is up. Obviously, it comes down to a budgeting thing for us. As you're very well aware, we are working through the budget piece right now for next year's budget. The other thing to kind of keep in mind is, again, as we've done in past years, we have the excess levy appeal that we've done multiple years now because we are ahead of the population growth and the AV growth comparatively, not because of the assessments, but because of the growth that's actually happened. So we are going after excess levy appeal again then next year, which again gives us a little more wiggle room. But to me, as you're all well aware, the highest part of our budget is our staff dollars. But the other side of that is the main thing that we do for our citizens, right? Public safety. And you know, the services that our staff provide. So I can't give you a great answer outside of saying that we are taking into account in the 2024 budget year that we'll build that into the budget itself. And if we hit a snag in the actual how we have to budget things, then I think Tom would tell you, I don't want to speak for him, but I think Tom would tell you that he would much rather have a person than have something else fixed or repaired or bought.
On that, you have to ride your bike to.
That's right.
Fire
we'll put a little bucket of water.
I'll be there soon.
ever since I've been here, Tom's been asking for more help.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and how long before the person who's retiring, before that salary comes off the books?
What, March of 25, I believe, is when he's slated for. It would be March of 25 before he's slated for to go off of. Drop program, so it'd be the following year, not next year.
It's
next
year.
It's yeah, it's give or take a year and a half away.
But I think on they touch upon training and certifications.
Sure,
the things that they bring to the table is an expense that we're not going to have.
Sure, I understand.
And that's, so that's going to help subsidize the following year's budget. That's where we have to add more money to. So again, it's kind of a work in progress, as we know. I agree that with Dan, that, you know, we have an opportunity and to bring two qualified candidates in to hit the ground running. It's a rare opportunity.
And I still come back to, we are the only full-time fire department in Whitley County. And we make a heck of a lot of runs outside of our city limits. And having the minimum staffing on there is really critical, even for more than just our own residents. But I think it's a very fair point to add, and obviously that's part of the budgeting process.
Sure.
That we'll
I'm just curious.
This. Yep, I think it's fair.
Just to touch on Tad's question, there is a surplus in there now, about $100,000.
How much?
About $100,000.
Okay. So, what, blow it?
Yeah. So, and chances of them spending all their appropriations this year is pretty slim, because...
Don't tell them that.
Well, they just aren't going to spend all their...
Pizza party every Friday.
So, it's just kind of a cushion.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So, effectively, we didn't budget all the money that we were bringing in, to be clear. Any other questions from the council? Okay. Do you need an official motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Have a motion. Can I ask for a motion to approve a reappropriation of $55,000 in Lowit?
So moved.
Sorry. Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you for your support on that.
Thank you.
Department head reports. Chip.
Last Friday, I got to meet with the Palm City STEAM group, and it was very interesting. They built small towns and got to ask questions and cut ribbons with them, and I was very grateful that the mayor allowed that. But other than that, I have nothing else.
Questions of Chip. Did you sense sarcasm in that?
actually, it was.
That seemed very genuine.
It was very fun.
Thank you, Chip. Mm-hmm. Sean.
We completed muster installation of permanent service at the Whitley County Jail. The pulse wire and some transformer, they're ready for that to be set. But other than that, we've got everything buried, so that's good. All the construction went on there. Our North substation entry project is quasi complete. There's still a few pieces that are on back order on that project, but we do have it up and operating properly. It was really nice. We had to use it already, where we shifted load on from one feed to another just by switching two handles, which used to be an hour or 2 hour process. So that's going to be nice to have. We did work out a deal with Bones Theater, thanks to Chris at Bones for working with us on that, where we were able to get a backup feed to both the jail, the Bones Theater. Everybody in that area now has a backup feed. They let us go across their property out of their transformer to feed to another junction box, so there's a little redundancy for everybody in the area now, so we appreciate that. Working at Bowen, the new Bowen Center, we have temporary service installed. We've got the road board at 205, and we're working on moving some boxes because the driveway they're putting in is not in the location that they thought it was going to be in, so we have to move some of our street lighting, but we'll have that done by the end of the day tomorrow. Other than that, just normal activities.
Questions of Sean? Thank you. Kelly?
As Chip mentioned, Camp Steam Ahead at Mary Raver had someone reach out to us asking if we could bring some equipment up for the kids the last two Fridays. They seemed to enjoy that. And we had storm damage over the weekend. We had a crew in taking care of a tree that fell on at Main Street and Collinwood Avenue, I believe it was, and then some other limbs that were down we had to get out of the way. Currently we're getting ready to do some patchwork for the water department. They had an issue back at Morse's Park when they were born, wire line back there, and we told them that we would fix the road for them and on Gates Road. So we'll be working on that here probably the end of the week. So,
questions of Kelly? Thank you. Mike?
CSO 19 project is just about complete. Light pole should be in this week and hopefully installed next week. And we have a walkthrough scheduled for July 12th. Main and Jefferson, if you remember last meeting, we didn't get any bids for that project. It is currently re-advertised and out for bid again with a pre-bid for July 13th and bids being due July 25th. The project has been extended per completion date of October 20th of 2024, which is a 426-day project, which allows the contractors that wanted to bid the first time the chance to bid this time because of the, it allows them to put this project in their schedule to where they could not fit it in before. So hopefully that works out. That's what we're going with this time. All our generators at lift stations that have them have been serviced by Cummins. Sludge hauling, we were doing that. We had to stop because the molybdenum levels were higher than Land Ave allows through the state and EPA. So we're going to continue to add sludge to the holding tank, blend it, and then retest it to see if we can bring those levels back down. Our CSO operational plan that we have for our NPDES permit has been updated by United Consulting, submitted to IDEM, and I got their approval for that this week. So we are good to go on that. And I'm still waiting on it to hear back from the long-term control plan on some of that as far as our final report, post-construction monitoring reports to be submitted, and to see if that will remove the agreed order with IDEM through or between IDEM and the city. So that's been for what we figure out 12 years?
It's a minimum of 20 years.
Yeah, minimum of 20 years. So it's we've been under agreed order for that long, and we've had the project completed now ahead of time and millions of dollars cheaper than the original. So I'm just waiting on that to see when our actual final report will be due to them.
Question the mic. Beth, would you like to report on what you've been up to?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. The safety committee has started their work site surveys on each facility. So we visited wastewater last month. This month, it's July, we're coming into water department and just doing a work site survey. So wellness committee, we're, as you can see, looking at the policy. And then the employee clinic, we do discuss that every time. And that is going well. Hopefully CDL physicals will be done there coming August 1st. Keep our fingers crossed. Seasonal employees, I think, are all in set now and good to go. So paperwork and everything is coming to a close, so that's good. And then the handbook, just looking at it because we've got some new legislation that just came out that we're going to have to add.
Question, Beth? Thank you. Gary?
Chris Anderson was started. If you remember, he's the lateral from Cheribusco, and he's fitting in very well. Still waiting on approval from the Public Safety Medical on Tim Clark and Brandon Young. Old Settlers last week went off pretty well, very little issues. Scott and Brian have been helping out, covering the schedules since school's been out for the summer. We've received 10 applications for our current process that we have one position available. Currently, the process closes at the end of June, so hopefully we get a few more than the 10. Had another successful drone incident. Cheribusco requested our assistance. They had a subject run from a vehicle and requested drone pilot Brannicky to make the scene. Once he made the scene, he got the drone in the air, was able to locate the subject probably within minutes. Directed the officers to the location, the subject location, was able to get him into custody fairly quickly. So, great job, Officer Brannicky. Dispatch, Savannah Fettig, is doing well and is really loving her job here at Columbia City. So, glad to hear those things. You talked about the $100 surplus. Tom's getting 55 of it. Bob requested if I can get the other 45.
Just throwing that up.
Questions for Gary. Keep the show moving. Thank you. Matt.
We had to move the bleachers up for Old Settlers and take them back Saturday night. We also finally got the recirculating pump in the pool heater, and that's been going now for probably about a week. We hosted this last weekend a tournament for On Turf, and it was one of their biggest ones they've had in the last probably 3 or 4 years. They had 30 teams plus in it, so the guys were a little tired coming in on Monday, especially after the Sunday rain.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's it.
Questions of Matt?
That's
okay. Yeah, you want to talk about July, or July 3rd?
July 3rd, yes. We're getting temporaries out. Sean came over, electric department helped set a new pole, gave us some access to, they trenched, gave us an access to the hand box so they can hook up to that and give us more power for the vendors. We currently have 11 vendors. That's 3 more than we had last year. And the stage is set. Fireworks ready to go.
Thank you. Gary, as long as you don't ask for money.
That's right. I was talking to Matt earlier, discussing the fireworks coming out. We're going to try to get some signage up that says use both lanes, and then an east and a westbound, you know, so hopefully they get in the right lane, so it's a lot easier to get people out of the park. So we're going to try to get some signage up there to make that much more easier.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I won't put no parking sign on like we did the 1 year. I won't put no parking on the side of the fire hydrant.
It's illegal. On the fire hydrant side?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I did 1 year, and I think it worked out great.
As long as there's a lane of traffic, they can do it through Columbia Shores.
Oh, yeah. No parking on one side, and it helps tremendously.
Do we ever have issues at like Parkview or Kroger or anything like that? I mean, I know it always seems like it's a there's a lot of congestion at 9:30 usually at that time, but
once it lets up,
you're naturally going to have that.
Yeah. The lights kind of control all that.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Guy's been changing meters again this month, and then we had 2 new services this last week, plus about 3:30 today the water plant went down. It's not running automated. It's we have to turn the wells and pumps and all that on by hand and kind of keep an eye to make sure we don't run the towers too low, but we were full when it happened, so we should be able to make it for 24 hours, and hopefully Peerless will be in the first thing in the morning and get it figured out.
So to be clear, water is safe to drink.
Yeah, nothing to do with that. It's just that
water is available.
And it's just
but the
that
automation
that
is there.
It does not automatically turn on like normal.
Questions of Mike? Okay, thanks, Mike. Tom?
Dad, that was funny. Mike's out there all evening. Parts from 105 are finally here. Adam's going to come get it tomorrow and get that repaired, so you'll finally hear me shut up about getting that truck fixed.
No, we won't.
Yeah, not really. Old Settlers went pretty well for what it is. There was a few hiccups, like Sunday morning they didn't have, they had a lot of their trailers still out in the street that the guy ended up going out and getting some breakfast and coming back before they washed the street. So we'll deal with that and a few other issues that we had this year. We'll get it taken care of and get back in order. Hydraulic rescue pump on 102 is leaking. That's kind of a big deal for us, but not for the community. We do have 2 others that aren't fully functioning. It just makes it so if the guys end up having to use 102 for anything, they just have to be aware that they have to get one of the other trucks to use the rest of the tools. We'll get it fixed and up and running. Other than that, things are going pretty well, and I thank the council for making this support.
Questions or comments? Thank you. Marcia, Rosie.
No.
A couple of things for your information. This week, actually tomorrow, Chip and I have a meeting to talk Westgate with our engineering firm to kind of see what the second and third phase is going to look like. Community Crossings is due next month, and so we want to try to get the next phase of Westgate squared away so that we can go and apply for it and get our ducks in the line, if you will, there. So so we'll be doing that, and hopefully we'll have good information. I'm not super positive about that, because every project we've had in the last year and a half has came in over budget and, you know, longer time. So a lot of that, that's obviously an exaggeration, but still. Tuesday the 4th, obviously we're closed for Independence Day. The 3rd, our park staff will be, and police and fire will be very, very hectic down at the park, but good stuff there. This Saturday is the scavenger hunt for our Summer in the City program. That's along the Blue River Trail. And then the following Saturday, on the 8th, we're doing a Munch and Mingle event. If you don't know about that, let me give the two-minute commercial speech. Move Over Downtown, or the Square, I'm sorry. I'll always call it Downtown Square. But Move Over the Square in Chapman's, as well as in our office, you can buy for $15 a little punch card, and it gets you four distinct dishes from Move Over, Pickles, the Square, and Chapman's. And it's a specialized dish that they're doing for this event. We're going to have some lawn games out on the Courthouse Square, so go to the place, get your punch, get your meal, or get your snack or side, whatever it is, go to the Courthouse Square, play a little bit, go to the next one. So it's kind of a sort of a taste of downtown Columbia City with the four restaurants, that would easily be a $30 or $40 meal. It's $15 because of our sponsors, and so appreciate the sponsors for the Summer in the City program. But I want to encourage people, it's a great, easy date night, or if you want to make the family event, that's good too. Family would be great as well. So we're really encouraging people on Saturday the 8th to check out Munch and Mingle. But you got to have a card ahead of time, so make sure you get your punch card ahead of time. So besides that, I think that's all I have at the moment. I may remember something later. But Walt.
Nothing.
Dan.
I will be on vacation in the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, good for you. For 2 weeks, yes. I'm sure Laura will scrape by. Tad.
I will actually be gone. I won't be on vacation to teach at that same.
So you guys will both be gone at the next day?
We'll be in Atlanta. I can join in via.
Oh, yeah, as long as we have three people here. Jenny, are you going to be here?
Well, I believe so.
I was going to say, let's make sure. I'll have to check with Jennifer.
That's the 11th, right?
The 11th.
It's the 11th, yes.
I'll be in town.
Okay. So. Honestly, it won't matter. It just matters if Jennifer's going to be here in person. We have to have a quorum of members physically present before we can allow any counting, if you will, of council members. Anything else?
Oh, no.
Okay. Jenny?
I do know that the travel team, the soccer travel team for Columbia City, will have tryouts the 24th and the 27th of July.
Okay. The travel soccer team, 24th and 27th of July. Okay. Good. Anything else? Okay. We have no press. Anybody from the audience want to speak?
Yep.
Name and address, please.
Melanie Love, 113 East Market Street. Hey. So I'm here today to talk about chickens and why we should have chickens in city limits. So there's a lot that I've already said, and I've had to repeat myself a lot because I'm running out of things to say. But today I'd like to point out, I found via thepetzealot.com in a 2023 article. So it is recent, but, you know, you guys know how fast ordinances can change and everything. But as of the writing of this article, this is a list of other towns that do allow chickens. Carmel, Indiana, which allows 6 hens. Bloomington allows 5 hens. Terre Haute allows you any amount on a lot that's greater than 4,800 square feet. Columbus allows 4. Jeffersonville allows up to 8. Lawrence has 6. Portage allows residents to keep up to 5. Richmond allows up to 3. Goshen allows no more than 6. Plainfield, 2 acres of land required to keep chickens. Valpo allows a maximum of 4 chickens per parcel. Michigan City says that you have to keep your chickens within 200 feet or out of 200 feet of your neighboring homes. Zionsville allows chickens with no maximum number. Brownsburg has a permit for up to 10 hens, depending on your property size. Clarksville, backyard chickens allowed with no maximum number. LaPorte, chickens, turkeys, and geese allowed. Seymour, Indiana, chickens allowed. And Shelby, Indiana, allows 3 chickens per lot. So I'm sure you guys all know a lot more about those cities than I do, because you guys travel a lot and stuff like that. You have friends and neighbors and whatever around there. So we should probably, you know, get with the times. I think it's a very, very important issue, and I think that we have a very unique opportunity as Columbia City to, you know, help our neighbors. I know South Whitley, Huntington, Cherubusco, they all kind of look to us. And if we can make this successful, then we can help them get chickens too. And I know that South Whitley desperately needs them. They're even more rural than we are. And they've got some nice big lots. And with the times right now, everyone's pushing for, you know, being more green and helping our environment. This is a huge thing that we can do to help our environment and to give ourselves sustainable food that's in our yards. And this is just a really, really important issue, and it's a very long time coming.
Thanks, Ellen. By the way, very good job seeing that time as a hurry. Anything else? Okay, hearing none, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.